To be fair. I was at a concert last night and they were selling all the CDs at the anyone at the Jason Upton concert last night? And did you see the table collapsing with all the CDs on it? It was absolutely mayhem for a couple of minutes, like about 200 CDs falling on the ground, and one fell out beside me. I took and put it in my pocket. Do you think that's wrong? I was like, look what the Lord gave me. Only joking. It is wrong. But like going out to pray this next season for Liberty, look what God has given us. He's given us an opportunity from this place in the inner city of Dublin to actually reach out to another part and start bringing people in and bringing the kingdom of God to Bray in a new way. And there's a church that's there, and we are going out, and basically Liberty is going out to Bray. All that we are, all who we are, all that we carry in God, we are going to bring it to that place. And what we carry in God is something that is fruitful. It's something that is influential and impacting. And God is allowing us to have this opportunity to serve, to influence, and to impact Bray. And I look forward to the day, not so far away, that like the church in Bray, when we see tonight, is absolutely packed with people coming to know Jesus, just the way many of us has come to know Jesus in this place. And I think that is an incredible privilege. And what I'm asking from you is, Liberty, will you make it your business to commit to us to being in Bray for our Sunday evening service? You say, because it's not just about coming to church. This is about us impacting a whole other community. This is not about what I can get over, but it's my opportunity to actually bring something to give into another situation. I just think that is the most privileged thing that God could ever allow us to do. I really mean that. It's the most privileged thing. We get to do this. We actually get to do this. I think it's amazing. And I want to have my sermon and all. I'll get to it in a minute. But this is some of the things that I spoke to us about over the last couple of months. And one of them is this, that, remember I said about clergy and laity? Do you remember I spoke on that? Like, there's a whole, a pope many, many years ago brought in this idea of there was like a super Christian and a lesser class Christian. And I don't know whether they meant to actually portray this, but this is what came as a result. That people thought that certain men, and later on in years, certain women, can get to God before they can. This whole attitude sprung up, and the only mediators really between people and God was a person. A man. So people would come and go, will you pray for me because I don't feel good enough. I don't feel qualified enough. I don't think I have the inside track like you have the inside track. But the reality is, Jesus never came to do that. Jesus says, all who comes to believe, I give the right to be sons and daughters. All. That means we all have equal footing if we believe in what Jesus done on Calvary for us. And we accept that and we move in that. It means that I have no greater track into God than you have. I have no special corner of heaven and you have a lesser corner. And God wants, and what word about, and what God is increasingly putting on my heart, that he wants to start a grassroots movement where the everyday, ordinary person understands that they are ambassadors of God, that they are sons and daughters of God, and that wherever you go, you bring the kingdom of God with you. There's different functions. There's different giftings. There's different orders of things. Don't get me wrong. But that's just different people playing their part in the body. But it doesn't make the hand any greater than the nose. Unless you need to blow your nose. It doesn't make the foot any stronger than the heart. But when they all play their part, the body is functioning at such a high optimum that there's creativity and there's influence and impact. And I want to encourage us over the weeks and over these next lifetime of mine that you are it. You want to know who God's plan is for this world? It's you. Wow. Another church, they're probably getting a clap for that. I'm fishing for the clap. I'm only wanting you to clap because I want you to acknowledge that I'm saying something that is so vital in your life and for the future of this city and for this nation. It is imperative that we understand that we are God's people whom God wants to bring and release his kingdom through into this world. And you know what you get in grassroots? I was in California a couple of years ago, and you were after having all these, you know, those mad bushfires that they have in hot countries. And I was talking to my friend in the car, and all this side of a mountain was all scorched and burned. And I says, wow, that must have been some fire. And he goes, yeah. And he started telling me about the process of what happens with these fires when the helicopters come over and they drop all the water and the fire brigade goes in and all of this gallons and thousands, even millions of gallons of water to sort this thing out. But he says, no, there's another part of the process. They have to go in with pitchforks and they start turning the soil up. And he says, you know why? And I says, no. And he says, because the fire gets right into the roots of the trees and of the bush and all of that. And he says, and everyone used to think that it was all sorted. And when the dry weather would come again, it would dry it all up. But it only take a gentle breeze to blow through the mountains. And the embers that was still full of flame or embers, the wind would just, and it would ignite again. It would go again. It would go again. It would start blazing again. And God has given me a picture of the fire that's in the grassroots of the church, you and me, that he wants to breathe upon all of that. So there's a raging fire of people who are love Jesus and who do Jesus' kingdom business all over the place, wherever they are, that something in God will grab a hold of you and you'll start dreaming like you've never dreamed before. You'll start touching people's lives that you've never imagined before, in high places and in low places and every other place that you may find yourself. That there's an oil that he wants to pour on the grassroots. And the oil is like the anointing, the empowerment of God. And when fire and oil meets, there's a combustion, isn't there? There's an explosion. There's something that is dynamic. And everywhere there's an explosion. Nothing looks the same after an explosion. Nothing looks the same. Whether it's a big bomb or a volcanic eruption, that nothing, the landscape is totally changed. And God wants to use us to change the landscape of lives and communities and a city and a nation. And if we take the city, we take the nations. And this great nation of ours went to Europe in the dark ages and brought civilization and salvation to all of Europe. Us, our people, our forefathers, our people that are long gone, brought the gospel to Europe. We saved England, by the way. We brought the message of salvation to the English. We brought it over to France and Belgium and all of those areas. We brought it to the Irish. Now, that's not dead. That's simmering underneath in the grassroots. That's simmering underneath in our inheritance as a people. That's just waiting for the wind of God to come. And we'll be all holy, radical, shocking, holy saints that will move out into this world and show who we really are. And you may say, a man says last night at a concert, he says, when I was 21, he must have been in his 40s. He says, I was 21, I had a call of God in my life. And I wanted to show, we all have a call of God. We all have it. The only difference with this man was he heard it, he recognized it, and he received it. That's the only difference. We all have. You may say, no, you might have, but I haven't. Don't be so full of yourself. You're not all that. God doesn't like just love the whole world and single you out. By the way, you're special. I don't love you. Oh, you're so special, I've a call on everyone else, but I haven't got one on you. Believe me, you're not all that, and neither am I. That God has a call on each one of our lives. He has a claim by the blood of Jesus on each one of our futures. That when we say, amen, I recognize it, I accept it, I want to be released in the Lord, he will start moving you in an accelerated manner that you won't know what's all around you in an instant. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to release into our nation. That's what he wants to release in shocking, holy, radical saints. That's what he wants. You'll be a shocker. You'll be a showstopper. You'll be someone that they'll go, he's radical. The world might say they're crazy, but what they're really saying is, well, we don't want to be crazy like they're crazy, because this is a crazy world, isn't it? Now we get and preach. I want to start. Oh yeah, the baptisms today. Mal, have you got that first baptism thing? Not the baptism. What's that baptism? Little John the Baptist. Someone sent this to me. The scripture says, therefore, who humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this will welcome me. This is Johnny. Johnny's mother looked out the window and noticed him playing church with her cat. He had the cat sitting quietly and he was preaching to it. She smiled and went about her work. A while later, she heard the cat heard loud meowing and hissing and ran back to the open window and seen Johnny baptizing the cat in a tub of water. She called out, Johnny, stop, the cat is afraid of water. Next one, Mal. Johnny looked up and said to her, he should have thought of that before he joined my church. Brilliant. I want to call this stuff expression 10. And if you turn to Luke chapter 10, which is where the 10 comes from, And this is the best illustration that I can show you from what Jesus said about what I just explained, that I am passionately giving my life to, is to see you be the church that Jesus sacrificed himself for. That's what we're doing as a leadership team. That's what we're giving out everything for. To see the church, see you guys live in the freedom and bring freedom to other people. And this is the way Jesus said it. He said, Jesus had talked about, read it for yourself, go into the Gospel of Luke and lay there for a while, because you'll hear a lot of stuff coming out of me as I preach over these months. You will hear Luke coming out of me, because I'm actually reading Luke a whole year now. And the Lord told me this time last year when I was in my darkest winter, which I keep referring back to because it was the catalyst for me being propelled. See, you think dark nights are dark nights for in themselves, but dark nights are there to allow you to experience the joy that comes in the morning. Dark nights and conflicts is there to make us the men and women of God that we really are. Don't be afraid of conflict. Just trust in Jesus in the conflict. If you're confused, just hold his hand. Natasha says to me earlier on when we were worshiping, she says, I just seen Jesus holding people's hands. I see Jesus just hugging people. And we just start praying that people would know the leading of Jesus. That he's not just running away from us. He's holding our hands and leading us out into things. And those who needed comfort, that his arms is around you. That it is going to be all right. He will work things out for your good. And so Jesus talks about all of this stuff in Luke. And I'll read chapter 10. I read it before. A whole chapter, but some of it. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. He told them, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. The harvest is always there, but the workers are always few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, he said, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone along the way. And there's reasons for all that we can go into another time. When you enter a house, first say, peace be to this house. Pray for the house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house. If not, it will return to you. When you find peace, stay in that house. Eat and drink whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wage. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is before you and heal the sick. Like, no questions asked. He just goes, when they give you something, eat what they're giving you and then start healing the sick. Isn't that incredible? Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. When you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to my feet, I will wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than it will be for this town. And he goes on to say, the 72 returned in verse 17 with joy and says, Lord, even demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, Father, I praise you, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to them like little children. Yes, Father, this is your good pleasure. Amen. Incredible scripture. And like, just when you get to the end, when he sends them out and they come back rejoicing, and rejoicing in the power that they have, and rejoicing. If you're really warm, it's my fault. I thought it was cold earlier on, and I wanted to make sure the house was warm for you, so I put the heat on. Now we're all baking. But he says this, he says, when they all came back and he told them what was going on, Jesus said, I seen Satan fall like lightning. I seen the kingdom of darkness crumble in them towns because you went out in the authority. And can you imagine the strongholds and the buildup of absolute evil that is in our city when we go out with the grassroots and the oil of God on us and the fire of God in our hearts, and we see absolute empires of evil. Empires of destruction, empires of murders, empires of killings and greeds and power-hungry monsters, all of that stuff's falling to the ground, and the people are really at the heart of everything. That's what God said, that's what Jesus said. You'll see these things, you see the devil, boom, hitting the deck, strongholds that was there for years in the financial and education system. You'll see it falling down and the kingdom of God being swept in. What an incredible picture and vision that Jesus painted for us. But I want to get us through this morning is that Jesus said, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Can I tell you that we are sent from heaven? We are heaven-sent people into wherever we find ourselves. That we're not just a religious group of people. We're shocking, holy, radical. No, that's not right, is it? Holy, shocking, radical saints or something. Get the CD. That we're not just some product without a purpose. We're not just some people that are just wandering around. There's 6 billion people on this planet, and only a few compared to the 6 billion actually know why we exist, why they exist. It's a tragic state of mind and of human where man and woman is asking, why was man created? Why were we put on this planet? What have we to do? Where have we to go? Where have we come from? Where are we going? It strikes at the heart of all human pursuit. Who am I? What am I about? Where am I going? What have I to do? Where did I come from? All that man wants the answers to are found in these questions. And it's absurd to think that we are simply a link to some evolutionary chain. I can't believe, you know, the theologians of evolution, that we were reduced in that whole belief system of being some type of sophisticated monkey operating and participating in some drama of survival of the fittest. Like that we're reduced to being some freak incident in some big cosmic big bang in a big bowl of soup, and this is what we produce. It strikes at the very heart of who we are as people. It says we're not designed, we haven't been created, that we're some accident. I find it impossible to understand why anyone would believe in a theory and base their eternal security on it. It's unreasonable theory. It's an unsubstantiated theory. It's an unprovable theoretical proposition that has no foundation in truth, and it desecrates the very truth of the origin of man, that he was created with a purpose and is of God's design. Man is the crowning glory of an intentional creator and an intentional designer. We're not just someone that has no purpose. Jesus said, you're sent. I'm sending you. I'm sending you with my purposes in your hands. And we are sent ones. We are ambassadors, the Bible calls us. We are ambassadors from another kingdom. We live in this world, but the Bible says we don't belong to this world. We are sent from another kingdom. And you know, Jesus sent them out. He says, tell them the kingdom. And the beauty about the kingdom of God, there's no subjects in the kingdom of God. It's not like there's a king and everyone's a subject, although he is a king. But God's passion and heart is that the kingdom would be given to sons and daughters. The kingdom would be shared out amongst his children. That the kingdom, see, we're not, someone's not like, like our status is this, we are royalty. Our status is this, and as you're being sent out, we have to understand who we belong to and what we are about, because we won't know how to act or what's available to us as long as we stay being paupers and being paupers in our thinking. We are of royal descendancy. We are of a royal priesthood. We are not subjects in some kingdom. We are sons and daughters. And the Father, the King of the kingdom, wants to share his rulership with his children. There's no peasants in the kingdom of God. There's only sons. In the kingdom of God, we're not just members of our subjects, but we're members of a royal family. The Bible says in Revelation 3:16 that Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. I used to always think that that was about the kingdoms of darkness and the lords of darkness. But what it's referring to, it's about the kingdom, that he is the Lord of all of the rest of the lords, which are the children of God. The Bible says that we're kings and prophets. Listen to what we're told we are. And I don't know about you, but when I hold this up to me, I challenge so much. I'm challenged. I'm not living in line with my inheritance. When I read I'm a king and a prophet, I'm like, what? Why am I living here? Why am I living in this state? Why am I allowing these things to be ruling my world when I'm supposed to be a ruler in this world? It's some challenge. And you go, oh, well, I don't want to be a lord. Too late if you're a son or a daughter. You are. You're just not acting like one. Or we're just being kept ignorant of what's truly ours and what's at our disposal. And before we get all uppity and think we're great kings and great lords, no, we're subjected in this sense that there's a greater king who is the King of kings. And there's a greater Lord who is the Lord of lords. And all those other lords and all those other kings, it's incredible in Revelations, they all take off their crowns and they give it to the King of kings and they give it to the Lord of lords. So you know your position in the family, but you also know your position in the inheritance. That's good. So we're sent as ambassadors. We're sent as someone who is... When an ambassador goes out, he brings all that kingdom is with him. If you go up to the ambassador's house and attack the ambassador's house up in the Phoenix Park, you're seen as you're not just attacking a house in the Phoenix Park in Dublin, Ireland. You are seen as attacking the United States of America. Because that's American soil. That is American land. And if you attack anyone from the kingdom of America, you're attacking the kingdom of America. And what incredible confidence that this has to give us, that when you're under attack and you know that you belong to a king and you know that you belong to a kingdom, that the enemy is not just attacking you. He's attacking the kingdom. He's attacking where you've sent from. And then you have at your disposal to call on the armory or the power and the might of that kingdom to come and establish itself with brute force in the nation that it's established in. So it's not just I'm just little me on my own and I come under attack and I come under temptation. And if I think I don't belong to something bigger, I won't know to call on. Are you with me? Oh, you won't know what to call on. You'll be going, I'm under attack, the devil's going to kill me, I'm going to go out and do what I always do. But when you know that you belong, when I talk to an ambassador, which I haven't yet, unless, I mean like of America, I talk to ambassadors every day. But I'm not just talking to him, I'm talking to his nation, because he represents a kingdom. He's sent out from his king or president. He's sent out, he's appointed by the president or the king. He's not voted into office. The king goes, I want you to go to Ireland on my behalf. And when they ask you a question, don't just give your own opinion. You give the kingdom's opinion. And when you stand before people, you need to know, Ambassador, you're representing me to this world. You're representing me to Ireland. And the great privilege that we get as ambassadors of Christ, that we bring not only ourselves into a situation, but we bring a king and a kingdom. You still with me? When we're in school, we bring the kingdom with us. When we go to work, we bring the kingdom with us. When we go to school, and when we go to home, when we go away from home, when we're doing whatever, we are appointed to represent the king and his kingdom. And the great news of it all is that the kingdom and all that the kingdom is and all that the kingdom has is being assigned to us to make our assignment in the kingdom successful. That the kingdom, the Americans don't send the ambassador over and says, by the way, there's no money available. Or there's no backup available. Or there's no get-out plan available. When he's sent over, they say to the ambassadors, all that America is goes with you. So when we send you over to enlarge the territory or express the territory of America, believe me, all of the might of my presidency and the nation goes with you. So wherever we go as Christians, we have to have understanding. We have to get educated. It's that it's not just Noel walking into a room or Johnny or Mary. It's Noel who is an ambassador of the kingdom of God that's walking into a room. And therefore, if there's someone sick, I can pray for them because the assignment has been given to go out and heal and cast out devils and establish the kingdom of God. So I'm saying, as an ambassador, I'm praying for you, knowing that the full might of the kingdom is in me and will be moved through me. And if it doesn't happen, you move to the next person, or you keep praying for that person till it happens. It's wonderful. Diplomatically, when you're speaking to an ambassador, you're speaking to his nation. You're speaking to everything that nation is when you're, I don't know about you, but this blows my mind. I was in the car with my sister yesterday and she had a pain in her back. She couldn't get out of the car. And I went through such a battle in my head. Ah, she'd be all right, she'd get over it. I'm sure she had it before. And yet this tension inside of me was like, pray for her. Pray for her. Oh, I don't want to pray for our Lord. I've not prayed for my sisters before. I prayed for them from afar. It was at me and at me. And eventually I worked up the courage to say, Joan, can I pray for you? And I put my hand on her back. And she gets out of the car and she goes, no, that's feeling a lot better. True, I'm not messing. That's feeling a lot better. And I came down. I came down here. And I started praying. I says, Father, forgive me for being a wimp. Forgive me for lacking courage, Father. Will you make me a radical, holy, shocking saint, Lord? That as soon as I see someone in trouble, just something of the kingdom that rises up that says to us, I will pray for that. I heard of a girl, she walks in Zimbabwe. And she's walking down and she says she knows the smells that's in the air because this is her world. And she smells death. She smells rotten skin. And there was a leper. And she goes lovely and she goes over and she says, can I pray for you? And God says, I'll tell you what to do. God speaks to her. Grab his hand and squeeze it in Jesus' name. She's a radical, holy, shocking saint. She grabs him by the hand. She squeezes and says, in Jesus' name, be healed. And the leper goes, ah! And she goes, it's not finished yet. And she goes, stick your foot out. And she stands on it in Jesus' name. And your man goes, ah! And she says, you don't get what I'm saying. Lepers have no feeling. Lepers can't feel a thing because everything is dead. And the fact that she stood on him in Jesus' name and he had feeling meant that he was healed and life came into his body in Jesus' name. Incredible. Do you know who gets that? The shocking holy saints. The radical shocking holy saints get it. Oh, don't be no, Father, forgive me for being a wimp. Forgive me for just believing the things that's inside of me. Forgive me for believing failures over truth. Forgive me for believing in my disappointments that you didn't do what that I want instead of carrying on and finding the things that you want me to do. Forgive me for lacking faith. Forgive me for not praying for Joan. Father, forgive me. And it's not that because the city won't be won by wimps. And I'm saying, Father, make me a shocking, holy, radical saint. When I see a leopard the next time, I'm going to stand on his foot. But see, I'm not saying we just have to make those decisions. At grassroots level, and God goes, that's what you wanted, son. That's what you wanted, daughter. I know you're timid. I know you're afraid. But come on, be radical. Be a shocking holy saint. Let me just pour out the oil. Because it's not air stepping out alone that will get someone healed. But when fire and oil is met, there's a change in the atmosphere. There's a change in whatever is around us. And you might say, Noel, I'm like you. I'm a wimp. Well, repent of it. Repent. Just repent means I'm turning away from that. And I'm asking God to make me this. And I'll feel the fear the next time, but I'm going to step out. Or at least I'm saying I'm going to step out. And Lord, when it comes to the crunch, will you just give me a little push? Amen? Amen. The ambassadors are sent out with power and might. And we go into next week, they're not only sent out with power, but these ambassadors were sent out in love. We're sent out to love. It's a radical, holy, amazing concept. To love unconditionally.